Well, today is the Feast of Trumpets, as we've already heard a couple of times. So I thought today I would speak about the Feast of Trumpets. Surprise, surprise. You know, this holy day is one that we always look forward to because it's the kickoff to the fall holy days, and we have in front of us the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day, and all of that, and we really look forward to this time. I've titled my sermon, A Holy Day of Uniqueness, and what I'd like to do today is just point out some of the uniqueness of this holy day. There are several things, and I'm not going to cover them all, but just a few. This holy day is the only holy day where the moon is dark. All the other holy days, the moon is visible. For example, the first day of unleavened bread, the moon is full. And the last day, it's still visible since it's only seven, the new moon, or the full moon is only 7 days old, so it's still visible, very visible. On Pentecost, which is the 10th day of the Hebrew month, the moon is visible, being 10 days old. And only 5 days after that, the moon, when atonement comes around, the moon is still visible. And of course, in the Feast of Tabernacles on the 8th day, the moon is full on tabernacles. And on the 8th day, the moon is only 8 days old, so it's still visible. So this is the only holy day where the moon is dark. The conjunction in Jerusalem was last night. I think it's about, I looked it up, but I forgot. It's really late, about, I think it was almost 11 o'clock Jerusalem time that the conjunction occurred. And of course, you can't see a sliver with a conjunction. You have to wait till the sliver arrives the next day or so. So tonight, you might be able to see a sliver if it's not cloudy. But anyway, that's kind of significant because this holy day, it represents, of course, that we've already heard in the opening prayer and in the songs, that this is a day that represents or prefigures, might be a better word, the return of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be a happy day for his saints, that's for sure. But for the rest of the world, it's not going to be a happy time because the governments of this world are going to be put down and replaced with the perfect government of God. So anyway, that's one unique thing about trumpets, in that it's the dark of the moon and sort of a symbol of the holy day, that there is some dark aspects of it. Another unique thing about this holy day is the name is not well defined. Let's turn to Leviticus 23 and begin in verse 23 and read about that. It says in verse 23, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, that's today. Today is the seventh month, first day of the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar. And this year, this is October the 3rd, so the months are very close. It's not always that way, but it is this year. And you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Now, we call this day the Day of Trumpets. And the Jews do not call it that, as far as I know, except for some might. But they have a couple of names for it. One name they have it for it is Yom Terah. And Yom means day, and Terah means loud blast or a shout, a loud noise, in other words. Another name they use is Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year. And it's, to them, it's the head of the civil year, not the religious year. So why do we call it the Feast of Trumpets? And why does Leviticus 23:24 say trumpets in our Bibles? Well, the reason it uses the word trumpets is because, well, there are several reasons, but number one, probably the Septuagint actually uses the Greek word for trumpets at that point in Leviticus 23:24. It actually uses the word for trumpets. Actually, I need to correct myself already. It uses the word for shofar, not trumpets. It uses the word shofar, and shofar is the trumpet that is blown on this holy day. The Old King James also has the word trumpets, but it has, well, it doesn't have the word shofar there, but it translates it trumpets. So that's why we call it trumpets, because we understand that it is a memorial of blowing of trumpets. Another unique thing about this holy day, it says it is a memorial of blowing of trumpets. Why does it say that? What is it referring to? A memorial is a remembrance or a celebration of something in the past, usually. What is it talking about there? Well, the Jews seem to think that it's referring to the event at Mount Sinai. And there are some similarities between that event. So let's turn to Exodus 19. And begin in verse 9. Exodus 19, verse 9. And I know that you've read this many times, or I hope you have. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in thick cloud," speaking of delivering the Ten Commandments, "that the people might hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." Verse 11, "And let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord would come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." And then at this point, I think I want to skip to some instructions were given to Moses and to the people, but I'm going to skip down to verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings, a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a trumpet." That word trumpet is not the same word we saw in Leviticus 23. This word is shofar. It is the shofar. So when they received the Ten Commandments, they heard a blowing of a shofar. And I guess we could say it was a heavenly shofar, because there was no man there blowing it. "And it was very loud, so that all the people were in the camp trembled." So it was a very loud shofar. "And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood on the front of the mountain." But now let's notice what God is doing at this time. Now, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. So here we see God is descending to the top of the mountain of Sinai. And you may know where I'm headed. That's what happens on trumpets. The Lord is going to descend again. And his smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then again, verse 20, it says, then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. So here's God descending on Sinai. I lost my place here. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So we can see here that some of the symbolisms of trumpets are available there in Exodus 19. So the Jews like to, I don't know that they read Exodus 19, but they do refer to that as possibly the memorial that God was speaking about in Leviticus. Now, there are a lot of other things that we could turn to, but in a sermonette, I don't have time to read all of them. So I want to list some verses that you could write down and read later. That's Zechariah 14, 1 through 4. And that talks about God coming down, and his feet will be on that day on the Mount of Olives. Different mount, but the same thing happens. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. 1 Corinthians 15, 52, and that talks about what's going to happen on trumpets. Well, let me make a disclaimer. I'm not saying that Christ is going to return on trumpets. It prefigures his return, and he will return when the Father says it's time. So if that's trumpets, we don't really know. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 19, and that speaks of the same thing about what will happen when Christ returns, especially at the last trump. And I know you've heard that many times about the seven trumpets listed in Revelation, and then at the last one, that's what these verses are talking about. At the last one, Christ will return. So I think that's about the last difference I wanted to bring out. I think I might have time to tell you one of the things that's kind of unique. You've probably heard about the Songs of Ascent, and that's Psalms 120 through Psalms 134. And also realize that this holy day sits right in the center of holy day observances. We've gone through three, then we keep trumpets, and then we have three more to go. So trumpets sits right in the middle of the holy days. It's a central part of the holy days. So I was curious. I said, I wonder what the, you know, there are 15 songs of ascent. And I said, I wondered what the middle one reads like. And so I would like to read that one. If you turn there, Psalm 126, this is the middle song of ascent. And according to tradition, the Jews sang the songs of ascent when they traveled up to Jerusalem on the holy days. So notice what 126 says. 126, verse 1. A song of ascents. By the way, it is commonly thought that this this is where it says the Song of Ascents was added later. It probably was not in the original writing of the Psalms, but the Jews later put that in there because they used them as the songs of ascent. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. And this is cumbersome language. When it said brought back the captivity, it means brought them from captivity. That's the meaning of that terminology there. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, or that is, bring us from captivity, O Lord, as the streams of in the south, that those who sow in tears shall reap in joy, and who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. What do you suppose bringing the sheaves with him means? I think it's a symbolic reference to the saints. Bringing the sheaves with him. I think that refers to the saints. That's what I read it in. Now I'd like to read Psalm 133. And this is right near the end of the Songs of Ascent. 134 is the last one. This is the next to the last one. But notice some interesting things it says here. Psalm 33, verse 1, the Song of Ascent of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We sing that in some of our songs. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. And then my Bible has a hyphen there, and it says life evermore. In other words, the blessing. What is the blessing that Jesus is bringing when he ascends on Mount Sinai? One of the blessings he's bringing is life evermore for his saints. So to conclude, this day is a wonderful day for the saints of God, and hopefully each one of us will be there when Christ ascends, and some of us may be in the grave, but that's no problem. But it will be a day of joy, but it also will be a day of darkness and sadness in a way for those who have defied the laws of God and put at naught his way of life, as Joel 2 verse 2 says. So let's enjoy this kickoff holy day to the fall festivals and look forward to atonement and tabernacles and the last great day.